So there's the recording. So I'd like to welcome all of you to our second conference call for RF101 Recreation Foundation. And some of you, like Deanne, have been taking part in the training for a while now, and some of you are new. So Deanne, bear with me because most people are new, so we'll make sure everyone understands how it works. I'd just like to start by saying that I'm honored to be hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Tawantinsuyo Council, which is Whitehorse in the Yukon. So last week we saw that recreation looks different in everybody's communities, and I loved reading what you shared. Thank you so much. It's really fun to hear about what you like for recreation, what you think recreation is, and what your background is. And as you can see, Igor asked one question about flea markets, and Igor, I think you've got lots of answers from people and people that are interested to know how to do that as well. So this is a really cool community to share ideas. Go ahead, Igor. Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say that I cannot see my video on the screen, although my problem just I think. Now it's good. Okay, thank you very much.
And thank you for asking a question about flea markets. So I'll just need to mute yourself.
Yes, and I wanted to thank all of you guys who put valuable input. So we'll go from there. Thank you again.
Awesome, thank you. So this week what we do is we look at some of the national and territorial priorities for recreation. So it's really important to know about things like the framework for recreation in Canada. And in Nunavut, you have your own sport, physical activity, and recreation framework, which is unique across all three territories because the other two territories don't have that, although NWT is working on their own. So we're going to look at those sort of bigger priorities this week and also talk about the benefits of recreation, and that's a fun, positive conversation. So the agenda that we usually follow on our conference calls is we do a round of introductions, and after you've been doing the training for a bit, you might get tired of the introductions, so I'll try and make them a bit more fun sometimes. We're also going to look at a little bit of content for this week using the presentation slides. And then we're going to talk about some of our goals for the field of recreation and also the benefits that you see in your community. And I've already noticed you started to talk about that as well. So let's begin with a round of introductions. And last week we went from west to east. So I'm going to suggest we go from east to west, but Dan, I won't put you on the spot because you're new, so we're going to put Breton on the spot after me. Let me pop the question that I'm going to ask you into the chat that we have so that you can see what the chat is, and I'll tell you the question too. So in 10 seconds or less, please introduce yourself and share, if you want to, your favorite recreation activity as a child, so what your favorite thing was to do. So I'll just start by introducing myself. I'm Caroline Sparks, and I'm your trainer for almost all of the learning events that you're taking. And I think as a child, I like going to the beach. I grew up in Vancouver, although I've been in the north for a lot longer than the time I spent in Vancouver. And even being in the Yukon, I still miss the ocean. So you guys in Nunavut, where almost all your communities except for one are on the ocean, I miss that ocean. And probably you guys in Nova Scotia are quite used to the ocean too. So I think going to the beach was my favorite thing. So we're going to go, I see somebody with a 695 phone number just joined. So if you could tell me if you just joined who that is, because I can't recognize from the phone number.
Hi, it's Lorianne Burton calling in from Mohani Butte.
Awesome. Welcome, Lorianne. We're just doing introductions, so I just started with who I am and my favorite activity as a young child. And we're going to go from east to west, so you'll be somewhere in the middle of our circle. So let's go to Breton first, and then to Dan, and then I think after that we'll go to Olivier, April, And then to Lorianne. So that's, I think I got the right order, and I'll write it down so I remember the order. So over to you, Breton, for 10 seconds or less, who you are and what your favorite activity was as a child.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, hello everybody. So my name is Breton McNeil. I'm in Iqaluit right now. I'm originally from Nova Scotia, and I'd say my favorite recreational activity growing up, and probably right now, is hockey.
Awesome. So that hasn't changed, hey, since you were a child. That's great. Thanks, Breton. Over to you, Dan.
Hey everyone, I'm Dan. I live in Pangertown, and I'm also from Nova Scotia. And also, my favorite thing to do growing up was play hockey.
Sorry, what was it? Your favorite thing?
Playing hockey. Very similar.
Oh, okay. You guys in Nova Scotia must like hockey.
Yeah. It's pretty big down there. Not much else to do in the winter.
That's great. Well, I'm sure you got hockey probably starting up pretty soon in Pang, right?
Hopefully. We didn't get the ice in last year till January because it got a little warm. I'm hoping to get it in a little earlier this year.
Yeah, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you. I've seen pictures of snow on the ground for you already, so thanks for joining us. Okay, so then we'll go to NWC. So we'll go Olivier, April, Igor, and Lorianne. So Olivier, if you'd like to unmute yourself and introduce yourself and share your favorite activity as a child.
Hello everyone, my name is Olivier Lanchy. I live in Cambridge Bay. I grew up in Cameroon, and my favorite activity in Cameroon was soccer, because soccer is the national sport.
That's great. And soccer, you can kind of play just about anywhere in the world. So, and you've been in Cambridge Bay for 10 years?
Yes.
That's great. Well, welcome to the field of recreation.
Thank you so much. I have to learn a lot, but thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, so let's go to NWT. We'll start north and work our way down and west. So April, that would put you first, and then Igor, and then Lorianne.
I am April Olisi. I'm from the Northwest Territories, and my favorite recreation activity as a kid was soccer.
Ah, so you guys have something in common then. I've heard wonderful things about your community too, so I'm looking forward to hearing more. Welcome. Thanks, April. Okay, and then Igor, over to you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello, my name is Igor, and I live in Kilisa in Northwest Territories, and I'm a recreational director here. And I moved to Kilisa a year and a half ago, and before that I lived for 9.5 years in Vancouver in British Columbia. And I would like to explain more. Was like part of me my entire life. Most of that I played soccer, and coming from Europe, I can say that I'm not very fond of hockey like Breton and Dan. But I'm starting to understand the sport, and I believe that I can end up as hockey fan like later in my career. And also I wanted to share that being part of professional soccer in Europe helped me a lot to adjust to sports here in Canada, and that's how I ended up in Toledo. Thank you.
So do you coach for soccer?
I was involved in professional officiating.
So you might go to the professional games?
Not yet, but I plan to be there more often.
That's great. Thank you, Igor.
You're welcome.
And Lorianne, over to you.
Hello, good morning. For me, yeah, it was playing one of our teachers here in the community who was kind of well known in badminton, so he coached us into playing badminton, and surprisingly he went to a tournament in Illinois, and a couple of us won bronze and a couple of us won silver, and it was very interesting, and I can't wait to start organizing badminton for the youth here, because a couple of them are not really into like soccer and basketball, so I just thought maybe they would be more into badminton, maybe that would be more of their speed. Hello?
Sorry, I keep forgetting to mute and unmute myself.
I got disconnected.
No, that was just me. My mouse was moving, but nothing. You weren't hearing anything. Sorry. Thanks for introducing yourself, Lorianne. I'll just get you to mute yourself with a star stick. That should work with your phone. That way we don't get the feedback. Igor, I see your hands up before we go to the UConn.
Yes, I just wanted to ask you if you have any difficulties hearing people on the phone, because I cannot hear anything practically. So if it would be very helpful if they speak a bit louder. Thank you.
Okay. That's great, thanks. And I think it does have something to do, I'm going to send a request to get more information about our technical stuff. And if we do have challenges, then we'll switch to a different platform that works better. But we'll try this for a couple of times. So those of you on the phone, if you can just speak a little louder and maybe a bit more slowly. You can also pop things in the chat too. So that's why we have the chat. Feel free to you know, if you don't feel like talking and you just want to share something, your introduction in the chat, you can do that too. So let's go over to the UConn then, and we're going to go from Nisha to Robin to Deanne. So over to you, Nisha.
Hi, everyone. This is my first time being on the video. I missed last week. So my name is Nisha, and I had a lot of sports that I was a part of when I was a kid. So I really, like, from little, I was a big part of, I like dancing. So I was big into Ukrainian dancing. That's my background. I liked baseball. Baseball is still probably my favorite sport, even though I'm really bad at it. And then in high school, I did a lot of running, and that's something that I still really like to do. So, yeah, that's me.
That's great. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you in CarMax in a couple of weeks, along with, I think, Robin, and I'm not sure if Deanne's coming or not, too. So thanks, Nisha. Over to you, Robin.
Good morning. My name's Robin. I put it as Robin, and then I couldn't figure out how to change it without leaving and re-entering. So that's fun. When I was growing up, I moved around a lot. And I found that wherever we went, there was always, like, large bodies of water. And once one of the things that I really enjoyed doing and I found really grounding as a kid was I would always, like, go to the riverbank and just, like, soak in nature. And no matter where I was, it always kind of felt like home. So, and I like climbing trees. So that's the other thing.
That's great. And you probably still do all those things. Perfect. Thanks, Robin. And over to you, Deanne.
Hey everyone, my name is Gian. I'm the squash pro here in town, Whitehorse. My favorite activity or sports, I would say, it was, I have played lots of sports, but volleyball stands hard, right? So I love playing volleyball, and that was my favorite sports when I was growing up. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Well, I find it really interesting to hear your introductions, because almost everybody has a sport that stands out, but you're all working in recreation.
Yeah.
So I think the ones, like even dance, you might be able to, depending on how you do dance, we might consider it recreation, sport, culture, like all sorts of different things. But I think the only ones who didn't mention sport were myself and Robin. So that's quite interesting. So let's dig into recreation and see where we're at. So I will try sharing the slides, and just please put a comment in the chat if it's interfering with your ability to, like, if it wrecks on your screen or it's not connecting properly or anything like that. So let me see if I can share what I'm going to be talking about, because that might make it a little bit easier.
Caroline, the only thing that I'm noticing is that it keeps kicking us out of the chat. Do you have to keep re-entering it?
I noticed that too, like it's showing left and entered. So I think if we use it, it keeps you in there, but that doesn't necessarily help. Let's see where we end up with that. And otherwise, the reason we're not using the computer chat is because not everybody's on the computer. Some people are just on the phone. So let's try this. So I'm going to start with slide 13 and 14. So you can see slide 13 here, and it introduces the framework for recreation in Canada. And we have a bit of a funny acronym for the framework for recreation in Canada, which maybe I shouldn't use, but we sometimes say FRIC for short. So it's a bit odd. But the framework for recreation in Canada offers us a vision and really big goals for recreation. And what it does is it invites all of us, regardless of where you live or work in recreation, it invites all of us to work towards some common priorities while respecting the uniqueness and diversity that we have, which you've already noticed across the territories. The framework was developed as a joint effort between the Canadian Parks and Rec Association and the provincial and territorial governments. So Remy, when she introduced herself, somebody asked Remy what the ARPAN, I think Robin did, what ARPAN was. And ARPAN is the territorial member of the Canadian Parks and Rec Association from Nunavut. So it was kind of a nonprofit and government effort. I think what was really important for me, and I was involved in creating the framework for recreation, is that as Northerners across the three territories, we actually got equal input and equal representation at a national summit in 2011. Usually we go to things and there'd be one or two people from each territory, tons of people from the provinces, and this time they allowed only 11 people from each province or territory. So it was really great to have our Northern voice. And people actually have started to listen over the last 10 or so years, because we try and explain that the North isn't like the South, that we're different, and that we have very small and remote communities, and our experience delivering recreation can be quite different. So as a result of that, there's actually priorities under Goal 2, which is about inclusion and access, and Goal 5, which is about recreation capacity, that emphasize how important it is to support recreation in the North. So you can see the goals on slide 14 here. I'll take some questions in just a sec. I see a couple of hands going up, unless there's an issue with that showing. Robin and Nisha, are you guys okay to hold your question for a sec?
Sorry, I didn't even have a question. I must have just didn't lower my hand. Sorry.
Okay. No worries. So since we developed this national framework, some of the provinces and territories have created their own guidance for recreation that links to national priorities. So, for example, and I'm not great at pronouncing Inuktitut, but Nunavut, Nunavut Sport Physical Activity and Recreation Framework was developed in 2020. And so for those of you from Nunavut, take a look at, I've linked it under the Explore More section, which if you scroll all the way down, to the bottom of the learning event, you'll find the link to that. And for those of you from NWT, the government, the sport and youth and recreation, I think it is branch, is working on a framework, but it was supposed to be out, but I suspect because of the fires and evacuations, it'll be delayed. So it's really important when you're working in recreation and volunteering to know what those priorities are, because they often can influence where you get money, how you do things. So a lot of these actually drive funding and programs and things like that. So I'm going to stop for a moment and let's just talk about how recreation across the North connects to the goals of the framework that you can see here. So I'm going to ask you, and you can pass, so passing is okay too, but I'm going to ask you either if you have a question about the framework for recreation in Canada, and I'm going to close my screen so that we can see each other, or how a recreation activity in your community connects to one of the goals of the framework. So if you have that slide up on your own screen, great to have a look at it. I'm just going to stop sharing for a minute. And in the chat, I'm going to pop my question so that you can read it. Bretton, not to put you on the spot, but we are going to go in the same order, and I'll give an example just while you're thinking of your answer to the question. And I'm going to put it in both chats just in case those of you on the computer get kicked out of the other one. So before we do the question, Robin, did you have a question? I see your hands up. And you're just muted, so I'll get you to unmute.
I just wanted to share because I was having a hard time remembering the goals, so I created a tool for myself because active living, inclusion, nature, support, and capacity. All I need since COVID, AINSC, helped me to remember it, so I thought that I would share that with everybody else.
Oh, that's cool. Can you put that in the chat if you happen to be in there? That would be great. Thank you. Awesome. I'm going to add that if you don't mind too. So we'll use that. Thank you. So the question is, and you can answer either question or you can just say pass and listen to what everybody else shares. It's totally up to you. So do you have a question about the framework for recreation in Canada, or is there a recreation activity in your community that connects to a goal of the framework? And I'll give you an example. So we're in the Recreation North training program, and when we started or developed this program, we really wanted to build capacity to deliver great recreation across all communities in the North. So this training program actually connects to goal number 5, and that's how all 3 territories across the North are working towards that national goal. And because we had that connection, it was quite easy to convince Arctic Inspiration Prize that we were deserving of prize money to create the training program. So that is an example of how what we do here at Recreation North connects to the framework. So Bretton, over to you, and again, feel free to pass if you don't want to comment, but do you have a question about the framework or an example of how something connects to the framework?
Yeah, I think hopefully this kind of makes sense, but for goal 1, foster active living through physical recreation, just off the top of my head, I know we hosted as a recreation department about 2 weeks ago now. It was called mass registration. So essentially we had all the different sports organizations that offer recreational activities such as hockey or fencing or badminton or anything like that. And they set up tables all in AWG at the complex here, and we just kind of had a few hours available for the public where they could just walk in, get some information, and sign up to whichever organization or sport that they're interested in. Most of them were physical activity forms of recreation, and yeah, that makes sense.
So that connects to your active living goal? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, just because I know most of the organizations were some form of physical activity.
Yeah, and you could also get connect to inclusion and access, because when you bring all those organizations together, so much easier for people to get information. In a community size of Iqaluit or Hay River or Whitehorse, it's hard for people to know, you know, where to go get information. So you're making it more accessible to them as well. So thanks for sharing that. Dan, how about yourself? Do you have a question about the framework for recreation or an example of how an activity in your community connects to one of the goals? And you're just muted right now, so I'm not sure if you wanted to jump in, Dan. Okay, so I'm missing Dan at the moment, so let's go over to all the way across the other side of Nunavut to Olivier. So, Olivier, do you have...
Unmuted now, sorry.
Oh, you're unmuted. Okay, thanks. I know sometimes it takes a while to remember how to do that. Go ahead, Dan. Do you have a question or do you have an example that connects to the goals of the framework?
Like recreation capacity, we've got some issues with that right now. We don't have a lot of volunteers and like our recreation committee is pretty small. So that's kind of an issue we have and kind of a goal that we want to improve on moving forward long term.
That's great. So hopefully, you know, working through the training will help you get some ideas about how to do that, especially when we get into some of the learning events about connecting with your community and things. And you can see that that might, I see people's heads nodding that they're probably experiencing similar things. So that's why part of building capacity is such a big goal of the recreation framework. Thanks, Dan. Olivier, over to you, and I see that you're muted. Do you have, now you're unmuted, do you have a question about the framework or an example that you could share, or do you prefer to pass either of those, any of those?
No, I don't have any question, and about the, actually, I just started working at the recreation department. I'm brand new, like you can see, and I'm mostly learning than giving any input. So I'm here to learn, and hopefully by the end of the course, I can actually bring something new to my community.
That's great. Well, you're in the right place to learn because, as I mentioned on last week's call, so some people would have heard this, I feel like we're a community learning together. So the Recreation North Training Program gives us some structure to learn in. But you guys, what you share is what we learn from each other. And Igor's question about flea markets was a great example of how you can learn from each other. So thanks for pointing that out, Olivier. Okay, and then let's go over to NWT. So April, over to you. Did you have any, I know you mentioned how great your volunteers are last week on the call, but do you have a question about the framework or an example of an activity that connects to the framework?
I have an example about the framework for goal number 3, connecting people and nature, help people connect to nature through recreation. A lot of our organizations try to have all of the recreation activities out on the land and through culture. I think that's it.
and that is really important, right? And in the NWT, because it's so important in NWT, you actually have an on-the-land collaborative. I share that in another learning event, but it's a really great resource for on-the-land programming, and especially in, I know in the Beaufort Delta region, like the Iqaluit and places like that, it's pretty important too. So,
yeah, as part of my position, I just started an on-the-land healing committee. So I'm excited to get that going and having that accessible all year round.
That's great. And you know, through that, you'll be able to get examples and ideas from people, but you'll also be able to share some that people are looking for. because probably if I think of geographically where your communities are, you're probably closest to Olivier in Cambridge Bay, although I know it's still a long way away. Great, thank you so much, April. Igor, over to you. Do you have a question about the framework or an example of the framework in your community?
Generally, I don't have any questions about the framework. I basically believe that it's a great guiding document, and I also think that it's like so supportive and can provide so much information to all public recreation providers in our country. And regarding the goals, I would say that active living, I would pick that one as well. Similarly to Breton, I think active living is one of the most important. And as an example, I will mention, for example, after school recreation programs. And here in Chulita, we have a youth in-drop center, and kids can come and have some great time. And also, I would mention that unstructured play, which is part of that goal, which is active living, also takes a large part in that youth in-drop center. So definitely, I would choose active living as a goal one. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you very much. You know, it's nice to see that your programs and your facilities and your community connect to priorities for your community, but also connect to bigger priorities in your territory and across the country. So thanks for sharing that. Lorianne, I wonder if you have either a question about the framework or an example of what you do in your community that connects to one of the goals of the framework.
Hi, no, I was just looking at the question and I was just thinking of how to answer. Would it be okay if we swing around back to me later on?
Absolutely, and you can also answer just in the chat. So there's some people using the chat through the learning event and some people using the computer chat. So you can answer in either one of those, and then I can share that to you.
Okay.
Yeah. And April, just to let you know, Misha said she really liked your idea. That's in the chat if you can see that. That's in the computer.
Yeah, I just opened it. Thank you.
That's great. So feedback to each other is really helpful because it helps people feel comfortable with sharing your ideas and your experiences. And so thank you for your support of each other. I appreciate that. Okay, so we'll come back to Lorianne, or Lorianne, just go ahead and pop it in the chat if you want to. Isha, how about yourself? Do you have a question about the framework or an example of something you do in your community that connects to it?
Yeah, so actually, I also just want to take this moment to say, like, I've been writing down some of the ideas. Like, for example, Brenton, your idea about the mass registration, and then I have this interest of looking at the NWT plan to see maybe like what we could be doing on the list. So thanks for those ideas and bringing them up. Yeah, so I'm still fairly new into my role as a rec director, but I've been learning so much. I think, I'm not sure if it's a question, but one thing I found really interesting about this framework is the amount of support on the ground versus other frameworks. For example, I have a background in climate change, and we have these really great ideas, but when it comes down to looking at these ideas, it is a whole other story. And in my experience here, seeing this framework and how RPA, for example, has supported CARMAC, is actually, this is probably one of the better frameworks I've seen, and it's really just interesting to see how much support there is for actually implementing this framework. So I'm not really sure if there's a question regarding the framework. It seems pretty thorough. But some of the activities that we do, like one thing that I really like doing, and is on the land stuff. So we're working on our TCTL network, and that is definitely connecting people and nature. And we're also looking at making, like doing food programming, so learning how to forage and getting out on the land and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that like here in Comrex, we have such a beautiful landscape, and I am a really bad rec director because I'm like, let's just go outside. But I think there's a lot of things that we could be doing. Actually on Saturday as well, this upcoming Saturday, tomorrow, we have a youth kayaking trip. So that's really exciting. That hasn't been done. So yeah, and another thing, I have all of these ideas. So we are hosting the RK event next month, and our arena is not going to be ready to go. So we're not going to be doing ice stuff, but we are going to do wheelchair basketball. And that is going to be really interesting because I think it really just kind of is a fun way to understand how people who are living in cities who can't use the legs can also participate. And I think it's just going to be very eye-opening for other people, like such as myself, to know how important that is. Because even if there's just one or two people in the community that, you know, aren't mobile, recreation should still be accessible to them. So I think we're hitting like a lot of, I'm a very verbal processor, so I might go on some tangents sometimes, but it's interesting to see hitting some of the priorities. So yeah.
That's great. Thanks, Lisa. Well, I'll be looking for a train to help your basketball. Hopefully it's not like contact, but thank you. Robin, over to you. Did you have a question about the framework, or can you give us an example of an activity in your community that connects to the goal, one of the goals?
Yeah, for the past year, we've been really working to build our capacity. We started doing like a Southern Lakes Market Loop in partnership with like Carcross and Mount Morne and South McClintock and Tagish, to build like more relations between those community centers and meeting with them and talking about like sharing lists of like facilitators and stuff, because we all have a bit of a hard time with that. We use a lot of our like youth developmental asset program funding to get youth working, because we do have issues with volunteers and stuff, but by being able to either, like there's high school students that need volunteer hours, so we try to rope them into some of our larger events, and also just training like some of the younger people to be able to help us out and do jobs and stuff. So yeah, we're doing a lot to build our capacity.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. You know, it's really important to work with youth and things like that. And we do have a new participant joining us. She just signed up yesterday, and she's a youth from Fort Lee Arts. So, and in grade 12, so I'm not sure how much she's able to join the conference calls, but definitely, you know, to fill some of the gaps in some of our communities, it's great to have younger people as well. Thanks, Robin. Deanne, how about yourself? Do you have a question about the framework for recreation in Canada or an example?
I don't have a question about the framework. It looks good to me. It includes everything and everyone, the inclusive and the, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Deanne. And Lisa just popped in, you know, for her, volunteers are hard to find and staff burn out quickly. Raise your hand or say yes if you have that experience in your community, just to see how many other people have that experience. Lorianne's got her hand up too. And Igor. April, I was so impressed because you said you actually have a lot of volunteers in your community, so that's great. Let's come back, Lorianne. Oh, sorry, go ahead, April.
But, yeah, mostly during the special events, we have, like, almost half the community volunteering. We have, when we do volunteering, we have tickets, since the tickets are so expensive to fly out of Ulusoto. We, the airlines give us some free tickets, like Aflac Air tickets, Canadian Mass tickets, and then we have some people part of special events who also volunteer. Look out for all of the people that are volunteering, like just, you know, taking out trash or anything like that. We write their names down, and then we have a draw on, it's the last day of the special event, we have a draw, and they get to win those tickets because we recognize their volunteering. So that really helps.
That's great. And for those of you who live in Nunavut and NWT, you know how expensive flights are. But for those of you who are in the Yukon, we really don't have any idea. So it's pretty inexpensive for us to fly to Old Crow as compared to, I think, April last week, you said at least $2,000. And in Nunavut, some of the tickets are closer to $4,000.
Funding for special events, we usually hold bingos and throughout the year. Christmas is the most expensive, so we try to save our funding for them.
That's great, thanks. And that's in response to Nisha's question about where you get funding for special events, because that can be challenging. But if you can get volunteers, that might help a little bit. So Lorianne, I see, I'll just read out what you posted. You said that your goal is trying to host community group walks, sewing circles, cooking circles, and be out on the land, and that you always try to bring the community together. And Lorianne, seen in the training program, since I think it's before Christmas, and I definitely, I heard about your small community, but how much work you put into doing community-wide events. And so that would connect to goal number four, which is supportive environment, because goal number four is not just about the physical environments, like Nisha mentioned, you know, doing wheelchair basketball, which is more physical for people to feel like they belong. But I think, Lorianne, what you're saying is you create these social environments where people feel part of it and included. And April, I think I'm hearing the same from you, too. So it's really neat how you can look at what you're doing. And it might be one thing, but it also meets other priorities. So when you are looking for money, make sure you point out all these different things, that all the benefits of what you're doing, because it is more than just physical activity. So thank you, and thanks for the chats that you've got going on the side. That's excellent. Thanks everyone for sharing that. I'm just looking at the clock, and I am very conscientious about trying to finish on time. So I'm just going to cover a couple more slides and then ask you one really quick question, and we'll maybe try and keep it to a very short answer this time around. So let me go back to my sharing screen. Takes me a second to set it up. Sorry about that. Here we go. Okay, so last week what you did is we started sharing how recreation makes a difference in our people's lives, and we've continued that conversation today. So as slide 15 shows, recreation strengthens leadership. It builds capacity. Those relationships and help people be healthy and develop self-esteem and confidence. And youth can learn social and life skills through recreation, and they can also explore career opportunities as well. So when we work or volunteer in recreation, we know the benefits of recreation. We know how powerful it can be in our communities. And so, as I said, sometimes money's tight and we have to make a case for recreation, maybe so that we can get more money, or that our budgets don't get cut because the roads are more important or the sewer system or things like that. So sometimes it's hard to make a case to explain why what we do in recreation is so important and should be supported. So how do we make that case? Well, we use what evidence. And for example, Nisha's got a climate change background. So if somebody asks about evidence of climate change, you know, you might describe, especially in the northern communities, the changes that you see in snow and ice and in the oceans and in the different animal species. And in recreation, we have evidence too, and we refer to it as the benefits of recreation. And it used to be, up until a few months ago, this massive website that was hosted by Alberta with all these academic documents that most people didn't wade through because it was a little bit overwhelming. So now what we do, and is we just talk about like the framework for recreation in Canada shows some of the benefits. These are economic benefits that you see on slide 16. I think that it's really important to be able to describe the different benefits, but for myself, I prefer stories, so that we're already sharing stories. I like stories. I heard a story once of a Klavik where they had to cancel court because the recreation program was working so well and nobody needed to go to court. So what a great example of what recreation can do in your communities. So stories are part of our culture and they're also very convincing. So on slide 17, there's a couple of stories that you can take a look at if you want to. And also the NWT On the Land Collaborative has some great On the Land stories too. So each of your communities has stories and they're powerful reminders of how recreation makes our communities a better place to live. But we also know, oh, here's some other stories, these are national stories on slide 18, but we also know that there's barriers to recreation. There's things that make it more difficult for some people to participate. And not everybody has full access. Perhaps people don't have the money to pay to participate, or they're living in a single parent household and have to look after children and elders. Sometimes language or culture is a barrier to participating in recreation. So across the North, inclusion and accessibility are really important. And sometimes it's hard to know how to overcome those barriers, especially when it's money or capacity or access to an equipment. So I'm going to ask you two last questions and maybe ask you just to take 15 seconds to answer them if you choose to answer. You can also pop an answer in the chat, and you can also pass if you're not sure what you want to say right now. So just to make it easy, I'm going to go in the same order, and then next week we'll mix our order up. So choose one of these two questions. Either briefly describe a story of when recreation had a positive impact in your community, or tell us about a barrier to recreation and what you did to reduce or remove it. And we've got about 5 minutes left, so I think if each person takes 10 or 15 seconds, I know that's not a lot of time, but maybe we can just start thinking about this. So, Breton, any thoughts about either a positive impact story or a barrier and removing that barrier story?
You know what? I'm going to pass right now. I'm just going to think about that for a second, and I'll probably just post something in the chat.
Great, thanks. And I'm also getting you thinking about it because it relates to your required learning activity for this week. So thinking is good. And so listening because it gives you some ideas. Let's go over to Dan and then we'll go to Olivier. Dan, I don't know how long you've been in Pangaratung for, but do you have any stories about recreation having a positive impact in your community? Or when there was a barrier that you were able to overcome so people could participate more?
I've been in Pang for about a year now, and the biggest barrier was just kind of learning as I go what people do for, like, Christmas. Christmas was a big thing here, and I started in November. So that was kind of a barrier, but it was a successful week. Learning from other people and the recreation committee and kind of seeing what works and what doesn't, trial and error, kind of.
Yeah, that's a really good example because when we work in recreation and we go to a different community, it's a very different experience than if you're from that community and you understand your community. So it's a bit of a learning curve. It's not just learning how to do recreation, but it's learning about what's meaningful to that community. And you're right, that can be a barrier for ourselves working in that field. So thanks for sharing that, Dan. Olivier, over to you. Do you have a story about a positive impact of recreation or a barrier that you were able to overcome?
I don't know if it's a good story, but we had, here in Cambridge Bay, a few years ago, we established a makerspace. It's a place where kids from 8 to 15 and more can go and spend time learning about technology, so how to use the computer or how to do research. And it's open 6 to 10 p.m. So that I say it has a very good impact on the community, because it's allowed kids to be in a good place and not vandalizing anything, and yeah, and learning something. So
that's great, and it also removes some of the barriers, because not all youth, like children or youth, want to participate physically, right? Like not all of them are good at sport, and if you're not, yeah, if you're not good at sport, you need something else that you can excel at. So that's great. Thank you for that example. Okay, let's go to April. April, do you have a story of recreation's positive impact or a barrier that you overcame?
Recreation had a positive impact. We have King of the Jamboree happening every June, once a year. And we crown King, Queen, Prince, and Princess. So we have the whole community competing to become the King, Queen, Prince, and Princess. So they're pretty active. And then we see the youth replaying those traditional activities. So it's like, and then you get to learn how to skin a seal or cut a fish, or like the youth that don't get to go out very much, they all learn that. Those activities are traditional ways of living. So that's my positive impact, is seeing them learn our tradition through recreation and becoming king, queen, prince, and princess.
That's great. What a good example, because not all kids have families that teach them culture and traditional activities, so now you're providing through recreation those opportunities, and they feel more part of the community.
Yes.
Thanks, April. Igor, do you have an example? I know we're at 11 o'clock, well, 11 o'clock my time, but we're on the hour, so if anybody has to sign off, you can also have to take a note.
No.
Go ahead and do that.
Yes, thank you. I will just mention one of each segment. I would mention the economic inequities when there was 1 week ago when we had some indoor event and one kid not having indoor shoes. I felt so bad about that, and I'm hoping that in the next few weeks we will provide some indoor shoes for that kid in order to participate. And as a positive, I would also mention economic benefits. For example, in our community, every single year, there is hand games happening where many people from other communities attend. And that creates, I think, valuable economic benefits for our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That is definitely a command. And then Lorianne has popped in. She said that this spring they had their first traditional week, and recreation took it on, and it brought so many more community members together, and that even in recreation she was able to learn traditional knowledge from other members. So thank you very much for sharing that, Lorianne. Nisa, I know you're fairly new in CarMax, but do you have a quick story about a positive impact?
Yep. Tomorrow's canoeing trip, we were able to take six young ladies on renter, and it didn't cost us any money because I worked with the Yukon First Nation Education Director and Little Salmon, and they covered the cost. So all we have to do is pick them up. So, yeah. And we had no money, so.
That's great. Well, I'll look forward to hearing how the day, is it a day or an overnight trip?
Yeah, it's going to be just an overnight trip. So they're going to do the trip, and then I'm going to pick them up the next day. So.
Awesome. Well, have fun. Thank you. Robin, any examples from you about either a barrier that you've overcome or a positive story?
Yeah, I have a positive story that's like a personal story. In 2016, I ran for Yukon Sourdough Rendezvous Queen, which is similar like a princess queen contest. And that's how I met my best friend. And we both ended up having like kids around the same time. So they're best friends. And me and her run the Marsh Lake Community Center together. And she introduced me to my partner. So,
So recreation connects more than just communities. That's great. Thank you. And Deanne, how about yourself? Do you have a... like an example of anything to share?
Yes, I got like plenty of examples, so I'll pick two examples. So yesterday, my roommate, she went for some Bollywood dance class in the Canada Game Center. And she was so excited after coming, overwhelmed, like you were talking, you know, the moves and meeting new people. So that was the one example, creating the positive impact on the person. Like, and she's like, she don't like to go anywhere. She's not into like lots of sports activities, right? She goes to the office and come back. And she did it first time in a long time. And then she was so overwhelmed, and then she was so happy. Another example is I always mention to the people about the Klondike Road Relay, right? So that's another sports, you can say sports example, but if you see the vibe and you know, the positive energy, and definitely there are lots of other impacts are there, like people from different places all over Canada, they come in here for, and from USA and other places to just run for the race. Yeah, so these two examples I see. Yeah, and definitely there are like the what do you call this, the barriers will be there. We can come up with already. If there is anything you do in the life, definitely there is something we have to take care of, or like we can talk about, let's say about the finances or other barriers. So that is thank you.
That's great. Thanks everybody for sharing, and my apologies for keeping you a little longer. I do get better at running the conference calls as everybody gets to know each other and we shorten our introductions and have more of a conversation. So typically I don't go over. I try and end on time. So thank you for being patient and sticking around. After I stop the recording, I just stay on the line. So if anybody has any questions, please hang on after I stop the recording and I'll answer them for you. You also have a required learning activity for this week as well. If you haven't done the one for last week, if you could do that and this one. So I think there's a couple of people who need to do both. The one for this week is described on slide 21. And if you're not sure where to find those, just let me know. For those of you who are new to the training program, the required learning activities are the things that you get checked off on. So when you do them in a way that is meaningful to you and your community, then I give you credit for that learning event, and each credit adds up to a certificate. So that's the only thing that's the actual requirement, but there's lots of ways that you can do those required learning activities. And then when we wrap up a learning event, we also have a feedback form. So I'll send a link that is actually under week 2, number 7. And so it's really helpful for me to get a bit of feedback from you to see if I'm on track with what you're looking for, or if you have any other suggestions. We do have another learning event starting on Monday. So you'll be getting a welcome message from me on Sunday. So go ahead, Jan.
I just wanted to say thank you, and I got to go, so just thank you.
I know everybody has to. I'm kind of running late, so thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. I'm just going to stop the recording, and then if anyone...